when we came back from Spider-Man, Dawn was watching Lucas, and she was watching Red One, like, in July, you know?
Unironically?
Unironically. Whoa. She's like, have you seen this? I'm like, no. She's like, oh. I'm like, what do you mean?
It is not that good a movie. I like to see J.K. Simmons do push-ups, but...
Yeah, I know. I think she likes that movie because she put it on in July, you know? And I'm like,
yeah.
Am I going to watch this and then just roast her for it, like, for liking it?
I know people that like it unironically, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then she didn't know that J.K. Simmons was also the Peanut M&M, but then she couldn't... She's like, Peanut M&M, like...
She didn't know that they had voice actors.
As if she hasn't seen those commercials or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, the little red dickhead and, like, the sexy green one.
Yeah, the sexy green one.
Yeah.
They had heels and
just,
she didn't.
It just, like, wasn't clicking for her. I'm like...
She'd never heard of any of the Peanuts?
I guess not. I mean, I don't know. Whoa. Maybe she just doesn't watch those
commercials. She's not attracted to any of them?
Yeah, I know.
Well,
her fee was just like bringing her popcorn, so I got like a fresh thing of popcorn.
Oh, nice!
And like the only place we could get tickets was like that Cinemark that's like right there.
Did to go to Harkins and get popcorn separately, or
no? Were you able to get some? I got her Cinemark. Oh, okay, gotcha. It was actually really good that day. It's normally like ass, but it was pretty good. But anyway. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Words Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers. We read comics.
Yeah, we read comics in the brightest day and some of the darkest nights. We're just reading
pretty
comics.
Pretty bright in Arizona.
Pretty bright.
Hottest all the days. Time. Yeah, you know.
Dude, I fucking take it all on a walk like later and later in the day. And I'm like, this is bullshit. I'm trying to do other shit.
Yeah, no.
Like 8:30, and I'm like, I think it's cool enough out there now.
Yeah, we like will go on walks at like 6 a.m. because that's when Lucas would get us up or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, we gotta go now if we're gonna do this. You know, he doesn't even that's like
pretty much. Yeah, what we have to do.
Like we'd walk with him. He can't even make it around like the block because his legs are that big. You know, yeah. And he like loves outside. He'll like just crawl through our doggy door.
That's good.
And shit like that, which is like cool.
Crawl through the doggy door?
Yeah. It, oh, like wow. We have to keep it closed to keep him inside.
Keep the kid in.
I like walked into the bedroom for a second and I like gave him like a fruit snack and then walked into my bedroom and then I didn't hear him. I'm like, oh fuck, he went outside. He went outside. You know.
If he's not just constantly annoying, he's probably going outside.
Mm-hmm. Like we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Green Lantern, Volume 1 of the New 52 run. It's called Sinestro.
Which is technically like Volume 5 if you're like one of those people.
2011 is when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
We got Back Matter Matters and The Polis, but we start with the news. Not a lot of news?
No, not really. I think everything blew their load last week.
Yep.
Because of Comic-Con.
I guess so.
But I
did blow your load early.
Yeah. I did see that DC extended the Deadman series to 12 issues.
They did? Oh, cool.
Following fan response. So that's pretty cool.
Good news.
Yeah.
Hooray.
I guess they were just banking on it being 12. Maybe. It feels like...
I mean, Superman was 6 or 5 or whatever. You
yeah,
know?
So that's it's true. Like, I guess they could
have. I think that was the format.
I wonder if they were... thinking of 12 the whole time and they're like it just better sell well or we'll just figure out how to end it with
it's
six.
Like just figure out a second trade, you know. Yeah. It probably will feel less like a maxi and more like two trades, you
yeah
know?
probably
which I you know maybe that's best for them.
Well, that'll be cool. I like that series so far.
Yeah, I haven't finished the first issue but I'll get to it.
You haven't finished it? You started it?
I like started it and then I like
and you're like oh there's tired, some words in here. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonder Man season 2 got canceled.
Yep.
Even though it was renewed, but now it's canceled again.
What do happen there?
Yeah, pretty fishy. Even though this is like a Emmy nominated show.
It is?
Yeah, I think Yaya got a nom.
That's cool. Did you like it?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really good.
Isn't like one of the writers on the new Spider-Man movie or something affiliated?
One of the directors directed Spider-Man. Destin Daniel gotcha. Cretton or something like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so if you thought that Spider-Man had sauce, Wonder Man has sauce as well. You know,
That's
perhaps
cool.
Similar sauce. Who knows?
Similar sauce.
I don't know if I'd say that, but
okay,
good
this stuff. Is solid.
Good stuff. DC is starting or doing something called a Start Here initiative, where they're doing $1 reprints for like number ones of stuff.
Okay.
So they'll like reprint like the Court of Owls number one, or like the Rebirth Batman number one, and a bunch of shit like that.
Gotcha.
And those are going to come out in September. So it's kind of...
That's neat.
Where people start runs, basically.
And they're how? They're a dollar?
They're a dollar.
So it's like an Image First kind of deal?
Yep.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Yeah. Smart.
Mm-hmm.
You tapped out now?
Yeah, pretty much. The only other thing I had was I took a picture of... You know how at the gym sometimes they play a movie?
Yeah.
They were playing Bloodshot when I went in the other day.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh, I do want to see Vin Diesel shoot particles out of his mouth.
Dude, the Bloodshot the CGI. On the EOS calendar.
I was like, why? Who's playing this? And there's a guy in there watching it. What does he think? I wanted to talk to him.
That means someone picked that movie. Made the decision.
Dude, Lamorne Morris is in that. The guy that plays Winston in New Girl.
I think I remember him.
I don't remember that. I was like, whoa.
I don't remember him in that movie, but I remember looking on his Instagram, seeing him promote that movie.
Really?
Oh, and I'm like, I guess he was in that or whatever.
Yeah, I stepped in for like a couple seconds because I thought it was funny. I wanted to take a picture.
that's awesome. I mean, they only have so many movies, I guess, that are like action movies that are
I guess they do have to be action movies.
But then again, I watched like 42, that like Jackie Robinson movie. Which
it's like a sports movie.
It's like a sports.
People are running.
Yeah, I guess it's like motivational, but it's not like action, like high intensity movie. You know,
they should put comedies in there.
Yeah,
put Paul Blart.
Like fucking anything. Yeah,
yeah.
I think like Blade is being canned. Like I think
so.
Mahershala Ali is like out.
I think it's for sure, and I think also the project with it, but they might do some other Blade.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Which sucks.
Yeah, dude, we can add it to our canceled movies list, and we can do a...
Canceled movies month?
Canceled movie month.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Batgirl. Booster Gold, I think, got canceled this week officially, too.
I don't even know if it was really...
Was it even really... I think it was in the pipe. The Authority got canceled.
Yeah, the Authority is on my list.
Yeah.
I had Booster Gold, just so that we have like a rounded out month.
Yeah.
Where is that fucking... I have so many lists. Canceled. Oh, there's New Gods that got canceled.
Oh, later. Yeah.
Okay. And then there's a new Spider Woman series coming out. Have we talked about this?
I don't know if we. I did see that and I thought that was announced during Comic Con, but I could be wrong.
I don't remember seeing that.
I don't remember it either.
There's like a 50 year anniversary one shot thing that's coming out.
Mm.
I don't know if it's like mini stories or like reprinted stories or something, but.
That's cool.
This new run comes out November 4th by Dan Waters and Andrea Brocardo.
Cool.
Cool last name.
Yeah.
Brocardo, you know?
Brocardo?
Brocardo.
Brocardo.
It's like Ricardo, but with a B.
I work with Ricardo. I'm going to call him that and see what he
Brocardo.
Does. He's kind of a bro.
Hell yeah. Have you ever read any Dan Waters stuff? I feel like he's on a lot. But, like, we just haven't read it.
I think he did something with Danny, didn't he?
Maybe. Because what did Danny do before Batwoman?
Couple things.
I just know her from her Instagram.
We see Dan Waters.
I feel like he's, like, coming up. I hear people talking about
him. Oh, he did that Mask book. M-A-S-K.
Oh, is he on that?
Okay. Yeah. Is that... Was he on Dark Patterns?
Oh, I think that was him, yeah. With Hayden Sherman.
Yeah.
So he's got
it is Batman
Dark. So he's got some motion.
Okay, cool. There's motion there. Okay. What's he on again? Spider Woman? That's cool.
Spider Woman. Yeah.
That's all I had.
Real quick. Do you do sub vocalization? That's a new word I learned this week.
Do I do sub vocalization?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I don't know what that means.
Okay. It's just like when you're reading and you like kind of say the words in your head, like when you're reading, because I guess some people don't do that.
I think I
like when you read, like when you're reading like Sinestro's voice, like do you hear like his voice in your head?
Oh, yeah. I imitate who I think is, yeah,
right
in the story, or I do it at work too. If I read someone's email,
right.
I'll like vaguely put their voice in there.
Totally. I guess some people just don't do that. And can just see words and it'll like, they'll understand.
And they just get the information?
Yeah.
Without seeing a movie in
their
head?
That's how people can just read super fucking fast.
No, I see the, no. I put more into it, okay?
Yeah.
And I read
it's got to be a movie playing out in my head.
You know? I'm visualizing all of it, which is why I think comics helps me so much.
I was watching some video of
so they just look at the words and the information goes in their head.
I guess so, yeah.
And they're like, okay, that's what happens. But they don't see it.
Yeah, they don't hear it. Maybe they see it, but they don't like hear it, you know?
No, I need to hear it.
Because
that's why acting is always
reading,
awesome.
Like, it in like a day, which is like a thick.
That's a huge book.
I know. And she read like 150 pages in like an hour. I'm like, wow.
Are you even.
What do you mean?
You should quiz her.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, are you.
In an hour, you'd read like maybe 40 pages.
She's like, take. Just putting it in her head, you know? Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, taking the info. Yeah. And so I'm like, I think that's what happens. That's why everyone was able to finish reading and taking tests quicker than me, you know, somehow.
But you know it better because you saw the movie.
Perhaps.
You saw the Mind movie.
I saw the what movie?
The Mind movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember it more. But what book did we read this weekend?
We read Green Lantern, Volume 1, Sinestro, first volume of New 52.
Green Lanterns?
Green Lantern. Yeah. There's typically more. Which is written by Jeff Johns. And art is 1 through 5 is done by Doug Mank. Mankey's the Pokemon, so I don't think it's that.
Is Doug Mankey, did he do the mask? Is that guy?
Yeah.
Really?
He does a lot for DC too.
That's so.
Let me see what else.
What a heavy hitter to have he on is, Green Lantern.
Yeah. He only had the heaviest hitters on Green Lantern.
So he had that mask money.
I mean, he did some Swamp Thing. He's done a lot.
Like I didn't even look at who did it for some reason.
Recently, the like Nightmares event that DC did, and he did like the Batman one of that, and I thought that was
Night
really
Terrors.
Good. Night Terrors, yeah. He was on Final Crisis.
He's known for work like Green Lantern.
Yeah.
But then he's created the mask. That's fucking...
Isn't that crazy?
How do they not have that in his, like, bio?
That should be the first thing that comes up, yeah.
Yeah, dude, what the fuck? He did a fuck ton of Green Lantern. Totally,
yeah. Yeah, I think he did... Is he on Sinestro? No, there's a Sinestro series I thought was quite good, too.
Looks like he's on JLA.
Uh-huh.
Or something.
Multiversity? Is that him?
No clue.
Yeah, some JLA for sure. A lot of Green Lantern. I don't know, League of Comic
Geeks. But the mask is what the sauce is at.
The mask is the biggest sauce. Yeah, that he had.
Yeah, great art.
Incredible.
I feel like I was looking at the art, and I'm like, I feel like I was learning how to draw by looking at how good his art was.
Isn't it awesome?
I'm like, oh, that's how you do that. You know? I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Great aliens.
Aliens.
Like some of the aliens you see in this, I'm like, that thing's fucked up.
There were some crazy designs there.
Yeah.
It's had some good pacing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite what I'd expect for like a volume one of a reboot, you know?
Yeah, when I was like looking through these, I'm like, this has some cool Lantern stuff in here. I couldn't really remember the story.
Yeah.
And it's weird because this is the volume one after Flashpoint, because it's like the first volume of New 52.
Right.
And that's where a lot of places just kind of started somewhere. But it feels like this is starting somewhere. And it's also taking some of like Jeff Johns' run pre New 52.
Well, because
it's him continuing his story.
Because you said this is volume 5.
It's like, well, in the sense of like, this isn't the same volume as like when Green Lantern first started, like first appearance stuff. Because you know how like it's.
Yeah.
Any reboot, it's like this is the new volume of run or
right.
Whatever. So this is like the fifth series, I guess. Of Green Lantern starting at number one.
Gotcha.
That's what I mean.
Okay. I thought you meant the fifth trade of like Jeff Johns run.
No.
Okay.
I don't even know what that would be. Because he was like well before New 52.
Did he do Green Lantern Rebirth?
Yeah.
Okay. Did we read that?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I don't think that book's very good, though. And I think it's even worse now that Ethan Van Sciver is like the main guy on it and he kind of sucks now.
Yeah. I think that I remember that being kind of bloated, but.
It was. But it was kind of doing a lot of work at the same time. So this one, I think my criticism is that it starts with, you know, it's supposed to be a fresh start that's like the whole point of New 52. And this one's like, there's some continuity in there.
There's history. I kind of appreciate not an origin.
Yeah.
You know, for volume one.
That is true. Cause that's kind of how a lot of the New 52 was.
It did like subvert expectations, you know, like it's called Sinestro, the first volume, who is not our Green Lantern that like we picked this up to see, you know?
Yeah. So it's a bold choice.
Yeah. I like how it's like buddy space cops, you know?
I fucking love buddy.
I like that. It's killer.
Any buddy cop I fuck with so hard.
Yeah, and their dynamic is fun.
I think I'm just a sucker for like dynamic duos a lot of the time. I think that's why I like Quantum and Woody so much. That from what we read in like the Lanterns series that had like Simon Baz in it and the other one, I'm forgetting her name.
The woman.
Jessica.
Jessica Wett.
Drew. That's Spider-Woman. Jessica Cruz?
Nah, I think that's right.
I'm gonna look it up.
You got it.
Oh fuck. What do you mean Googling Woman Lantern doesn't pull it up? Jessica Cruz, yeah.
Nice. I'm glad you...
clutched.
You verified and you didn't have enough confidence to get it correct.
I haven't thought of her in a while. She hasn't been in the book. Well, actually, she's...
Isn't she the one that has, like, the patch?
That's, like, the coolest... One of the cooler designs, I feel like.
Okay.
I think it's fun.
Sure.
Anyway.
Issue one?
Yep, issue one. So, New 52, Daniel, issue one is new shit. It starts on Oa. Sinestro, who is a former member of the Green Lantern Corps and creator of the Sinestro Corps when he went a little bit evil, which is also the Yellow Lantern.
Just a little bit.
Is given a chance at being a Green Lantern again by the Guardians of the Universe. Meanwhile, Hal Jordan doesn't have a Green Lantern ring and is struggling to make rent, and he wants to keep a relationship with Carol, but that doesn't go very well. Also, nobody will hire him because he's a big like insurance concern. So Carol is a homie and gives him a job. Sinestro discovers his home planet, Korugar, is being enslaved by the Sinestro Corps members after they think that Sinestro betrayed them by becoming a Green Lantern again. So Sinestro flies to Earth to ask Hal for help, and he offers him a chance at a Green Lantern ring. And I always think that the most important thing of any Green Lantern book is to have a cool construct at least one time every issue.
Okay.
If not cool, at least unique. And like
it's like a Batman new gadget.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or Batman.
But you don't expect that every time with Batman. At least once in like a Batman trade, you'll see like a weird.
Yeah.
I always think of an All-Star Batman. He shoots the horns out, and that's like a something. The Scott Snyder All-Star Batman.
I
never thought of that being some of utility. But in this one,
it's normally like antennas, I thought.
Yeah, sometimes there's that, but I just remember he was like stuck and he like looked down and he shot the horns out and like hit somebody. And I thought that was funny.
That's crazy to me that you remember that because I don't remember liking that series at all.
It's probably because it was JR, I think.
JR. Also didn't help.
But in this one, you see like Sinestro looking at his home planet from like an asteroid, and he's got this like crazy sniper looking thing. And I'm like, that's kind of fun. Or the aliens are using like alien weaponry to like in their fighting. And I always like seeing what the artists will come up with those.
Yeah.
So I think that's always important to me. It's something I look out. Cause if you're just like using a big fist or like a big shield or something, it's like, what's the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Use a baseball mitt.
You know? A baseball mitt. That's fun.
So like the Guardians had like this other Guardian, Ganthet, and they like brain fuck him or something to make him obedient or something.
Yeah. So the Guardians are supposed to like not have any emotion so that they can govern the universe in some way.
Yeah.
But they enlisted these Green Lanterns who like have emotions and they can be split up and like focus on their sector and be in trust. Like they'll be trusted with emotion to govern their, you know, universe in the way that they're supposed to in that sector. But the Guardians aren't supposed to have any. And so Ganthet at some point was like, I want to have some emotion. And so he did, but the Guardians don't like that. So they brain fucked him and now he doesn't have any emotions.
So are the Yellow Lanterns different from the Sinestro Corps?
Sinestro Corps is just the Yellow Lanterns.
Did Sinestro just make the Yellow Lanterns?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. He like
He like started it, and then he
used a ring to destroy a ring.
Yeah, probably at some point. Like a Green Lantern ring. He talks about having destroyed a couple Green Lantern rings.
Right. It seems like something that wouldn't like
be possible.
Yeah.
They're not like indestructible, I don't think. They're just powerful.
Yeah. Cause like,
or no, he destroys the Yellow Lantern in this one, or the Yellow Lantern ring in this.
Yeah. Like when he kills them, he like destroys the yellow one. But I guess if he made that, then
he blasts it. And I think it's easier for him because he created it, so he can will it to be destroyed.
Yeah. Easier. I don't love that. I kind of like the weird, ambiguous, like, selection process.
Yeah.
And not like, you be a lantern, yeah. You know?
It feels like every run tries to throw in a couple new rules. And
that sounds exhausting.
It is a little exhausting to, like, keep track of, or just, like, something new. And I kind of, it's unfair to want it to stay in, like, a Geoff Johns era. Well, I mean, this is Geoff Johns, but, like, in just the era right before this, where it's just, he innovated the lanterns of the different colors of the rainbow, and they all do like these certain things, and they pull from different emotions and stuff. But like every new run, they'll try and introduce a new color or like a new emotion core. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, because like the Yellow Lanterns derive their power from like fear, the Green Lanterns use willpower, and then there's like ones for all the different colors. But then sometimes someone will want to put in like sadness as like an emotion and use that as like a Green Lantern core.
Yeah.
And, it never hits the same.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, they got all the good ones, it feels like.
Yeah.
So, Hal, like, invites Carol?
Carol.
To dinner at, like, a fancy place.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, asks her to co-sign a lease on a car.
Yeah.
Because he can't fly anymore.
I like how it's built up, because they're at dinner, and he's like, oh, I can't believe I'm going to ask you this. Like, and she thinks he's going to, like, ask to go out again, and he's like, will you co-sign the lease on my car?
Yeah.
It's just like, she's like, what the fuck? And then like,
and she like drove him there, you know?
Yeah. And like, she's like, wait, you drove me here. It's so funny seeing him in like this such a loser position, because he's such a cocky character. And so I think that's why this scene works really, really well. Because they have a history and he's just fucking it up again.
She probably needed him to pay for, he probably needed her to like pay for dinner too, definitely. You know?
So he was in his mind, I like to think that he was going to convince her somehow to be like, hey, I'm a little tight on cash right now.
Yeah. Dude, and he like goes home and there's like an eviction notice on his door.
Yeah.
Look how fucking tiny that font is. It's like,
it is tiny.
It's like a one size font.
I think Doug just didn't want to put any like lettering or anything on there. So they're like, let's make it really tiny. I feel
like we run into this a lot. It's like either like gibberish. Just put some or squiggly
squiggles.
Lines.
Squiggles is fine. We understand.
We don't always.
But I think Doug's above that. So he's like, let me just make it so small that it's just this like staticky block of text. It looks
like he's like just dragging his finger across like a keyboard. There's no spaces in there.
It's like he went to Microsoft Word and like changed the font size to one and just like.
Yeah.
Just made a bunch of text.
Anyway.
So then issue two. Sinestro gives Hal Jordan a mock Green Lantern ring that can be turned off at any time, and it can't be used against Sinestro himself because he created it. And a Sinestro Corps member named Gorgor tracks Sinestro to Earth and causes like a whole ruckus. He destroys a bridge, and Sinestro has to like, he easily handles the whole thing. He kills Gorgor. He saves the people. He like rebuilds the bridge even. And Sinestro then reveals that his plan is that he wants Hal to help him destroy the Sinestro Corps that he created.
So, if you had to name your firstborn after a lantern character, like an alien lantern character, what would it be? Would it be Gorgor? That's a pretty good one.
I think it'd be Kilowog.
that's the obvious one.
There's some like normal ones in there. I can't really think of them right now, but Gorgor is a good one. Gorgor looks fucked up too. Do you see this?
How many fucking logos do you need on that guy?
There are a lot of logos. I never thought about that until right now.
We get it. He's like super. He's got yellow. You know, we know where he's probably coming from.
He's like an awesome like horror artist. This guy's his face is a face eating another face eating another. Like it's crazy. And I love it because like it bothers me when aliens are just humanoid most of the time. Like you can have it sometimes if you want like the main character like fall in love with somebody or something, right? That's fine. But space is infinite. Things probably look different, so might as well have some fun with it. is what I think. So I like it when there's some fucked up aliens.
Totally. We get because being like humanoid is like too easy, and
it's
like
way too easy.
Super boring.
Yeah.
So you have to have these things that like, I don't know how that works at all. You know?
That's why I appreciate the Grant Morrison run for that aspect too. Because there are some like weird lanterns. There's one that's like literally a volcano. And he like rumbles when he talks. It's like really ridiculous and kind of annoying to read, but it's really funny at the same time.
Who's that artist?
Liam Sharp.
Liam Sharp.
Yeah. I almost had us read that one too, but I think it's better as 12.
Yeah.
So.
And we don't have that kind of time.
I wouldn't want to read
in 1 week.
I wouldn't want to read all 12 in 1 week. It's hard enough reading one issue a month.
Maybe if we took like 3 weeks off, we could do
it. Yeah, probably. Because it is, I would like to reread it all in its entirety, because I would just read it like 1 month after another and be like, what the fuck is going on again?
Yeah, it seems
it's Grant Morrison. So
a maxi series, you know, with like legends, you know, it's like, that's got to be satisfying to like just like read all together,
consume
you know?
It all at once.
So he can create rings with the Green Lantern ring
with some rules.
But it seems like the rules that he put on, like he put some parental controls on it.
Yeah, I think so. And there's been a couple examples of creating like more rings or like more things. And I don't love it because I like it, that they were just somehow manufactured. I don't even remember like how they were even made to begin with. And I feel like
when a that star person dies, has to die or something.
Yeah, you know? I feel like it should be something cool like that. Jeff Johns probably wrote that, you know, somewhere about how they were made.
So is it like the new rings are like a construct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not like Sinestro is like this weird god or something.
No, you can't just like, make original like manufactured rings. And so the way it works in my head is that when Hal Jordan is using his mock ring, he's like using the power of Sinestro's ring to do that. Like it's funneling the energy and it just works.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate a minigun in any comic. And so we do see one here. It's only for one panel. It looks like it's three miniguns in one, which is kind of cool.
I feel like that'd be my go-to for everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, cat in a tree. Like would be. What was that?
That was my shoe. Sorry. That's a better go-to than just like most of the go-to Green Lantern shit. So
I feel like I always ask you, but do you have like a favorite construct that in memory?
I always think of the Justice League animated movie where he catches somebody with, I think, a baseball mitt, and then it turns it into an elevator brings it back up to the top. That's always
Justice
fun.
Justice League War, I think.
Justice League.
That's like the first one where it's
War,
like,
I think.
Where it's just like.
With Darkseid.
Is it? I can't remember.
It's like a beginning Darkseid thing. That one, I always just remember being one of the funnier ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's also like them putting themselves in a big mech and fighting people. That's always a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
For sure.
What else? Oh, I think also what I've always enjoyed about Jeff John's run is that his Sinestro is like a really fun dynamic to read with Hal Jordan, because they're both so arrogant and like confident, but in like their own ways.
Totally.
And so the shit talking between the two of them, I think, is always super fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that he's always consistently done well. But issue 3, the Guardians purge Ganthet of his emotions, and together they decide that the Green Lanterns are a flawed solution, just like when they tried with the Manhunters. So they vow to create what's called the Third Army. Sinestro bribes Hal into helping him take out the Sinestro Corps by saying that if he helps him in saving Korugar, then Hal will be allowed to keep the power ring. And so they get to Korugar, and Sinestro reveals that he built a failsafe into the yellow power battery to shut down if there's like a Green Lantern like lantern that's put in there. It's like a failsafe that he put. And so their plan is to wait until after dark to strike, but Sinestro rushes in early when he sees Arsona being attacked, and Hal gets into the yellow power battery and he's disintegrated. Seemingly.
He's fucking dead.
He's dead. That's it.
My year ago, that's it.
I like the scene where they're arguing on Earth, and then Hal just like punches him because like the ring can't hurt him, but he can still like punch him.
Yeah,
I don't think he expected that. I love that.
Did you know that Sinestro paints his fingernails?
I missed that.
Yeah, like, see, he's got black fingernails. Maybe he doesn't paint them, but they're
just naturally black. But I like to think that he paints them black, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never noticed that. I wonder if that's consistent across all of them. That must be, like, just one of those annoying things that you just have to keep track of with alien characters across artists.
Yeah.
Like, make sure his fingernails are black. Or, like, editors probably have to keep that in mind. I don't know whose job that is.
Check the fingernails.
I can't imagine every new Green Lantern writer knows that Sinestro's nails are black. So it must be like an editor that...
Because like, wasn't like Red Hulk's fingernails black?
I think so.
And I'm like...
But when I imagine them, I think they're probably just like red.
They're just red, yeah. And then they can make their suits like black.
That was cool. I didn't know... I don't remember that specifically in this, but it makes sense. Because the suit itself is like kind of a construct, or that's what like puts the suit, like gets generated onto you, kind of.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that you'd be able to control how that looks.
Yeah, I don't want to make it seem like they can just be whatever color they want, but I'd rather think that they can just lower the brightness.
I think that's what they're doing, yeah. They're lowering the brightness of their suit itself.
Right.
And so that's cool. That's a fun idea.
There's a character in the Sinestro Corps. His name's Slush.
I never knew about Slush.
With two H's.
But Slush.
And he's like a...
Might be my favorite Sinestro Corps
member. He's like a Glob Herman kind of guy.
Yeah. I think Jeff Johns was jealous of Glob and he's like, I could do that.
Yeah. He's just like some bones and like a...
Slush is a good name.
Into goo.
I would argue it's about as good of a name as Glob.
I think Slush is a terrible name.
You think it's terrible for this character?
It makes sense for this character. If I don't know what he looks like, Slush, not a good name, you know?
But when you see him and you're like, and someone's calling him Slush, you're like, oh yeah.
Like, that's easy to remember at least.
Yeah. Yep, that's cool.
And so, Hal Jordan's cool with murder?
Super cool it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seemed like he's just... At some point, it's like all the heroes like, don't kill or whatever.
Yeah, no. He'll do that shit. Because he blows someone's head open with like a bazooka.
Yeah.
A lantern bazooka.
Contact bazooka.
Yeah. Which is good thinking on your feet.
Totally.
And better than just like laser. I think that's what will piss me off if someone just uses like ring laser.
To snipe?
Yeah, to snipe. Get a sniper. You know?
Construct a sniper.
Make it a batarang or something.
Shoot him with a constant bullet. Yeah,
because doing like, and like the artist just draws two straight lines, it's like, what the fuck are we doing here? This is comic books. It could be literally anything.
Yeah.
So I always appreciate a bazooka.
I would just like make gun, like fake guns that are like in video games, like have like a needler.
Yeah, that's a great idea too.
Or a fucking like the...
Do a Lancer from like Gears of War with the chainsaw on it.
That'd be cool. Or the fucking ray gun from Zombies.
Yeah. You know? Even though it would essentially do the same thing with like a little laser. It's like a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a line that Sinestro says when he's arguing about... Because Hal wants to like say bye to Carol before he leaves. And Sinestro's like, what are you going to fix your relationship? And like by saying goodbye. And he's like, I mean, it couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Sinestro's like, couldn't help. And then he says, what's more important here? Futilely putting a bandage on the gaping wound of your failed romance or saving an entire world. And I'm like, he's such an ass.
Yeah.
But he's got it right. And so I'm like, you know, I can't argue with that.
He's literally got nothing going on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then issue 4, Hal survives being disintegrated. And then him and Sinestro are captured and put into a power draining cell with other Korugar refugees. Arsona confronts Sinestro for having destroyed their people, and she's saying that like they don't want Sinestro's help, and explains that she was one of the police officers there who first supported him during his like rise to power, so she feels betrayed. But Hal brings up the idea that Sinestro can create like more duplicate rings to arm the people and maybe help get out of there. So Sinestro manages to do that, but the people immediately turn on him. And Hal looked pretty fucked up after disintegrating, so I don't know how he's back.
Yeah.
Because this is literally the last page of the last issue. It's like, he's basically that last panel of Dr. Manhattan when he's like getting disintegrated.
Yeah.
So that's what happened there.
So you can touch a construct, right?
Yeah. You like walk on it and yeah.
Yeah. And so right before Hal's ring goes out, he makes a Carol Ferris construct right in front of him because it's the last thing he wants to see or whatever.
Yeah, he wants to see a picture of Carol. Yeah. Or a 3D model of Carol. But
that's weird.
Why is that weird?
You can make a fuck doll with your Green Lantern ring.
No, you can't. I mean, you can. Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he does put her in this like bodysuit. So that's not great either. Maybe put it in a nicer dress or something.
Right.
T-shirt. This is a skin tight bodysuit.
Yeah.
And he's like, let me think of that.
Is she okay with that?
Okay. Technically.
This is a deep fake.
Is she okay? Wow. What an interesting question.
You've never thought of that.
Well, the context is different now because we have deep fakes and you technically can't do that.
Well, he can just make her. He doesn't need her anymore.
If he, yes, he does. I mean, if his goal is to fuck Carol, I guess he does.
I mean, if you could make a construct like a living, moving thing almost.
Yeah, I think I would know it was wrong if he was using like her likeness to like undress her and do whatever he wants. Like, that's obviously weird. Technically, there's a rule that you can't use your lantern to fulfill any of your own pleasures or whatever.
Okay.
That's like a rule. So you couldn't use it to just like go golfing, I guess.
Did it?
You know?
You can't golf?
Like if you weren't using it to actively do something for the core or like help somebody, like you can't just use it to go do some whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's been a stipulation of the ring. But that's what he's kind of doing here. But it is a fake ring at the same time. So maybe you can get past that.
Mm. But, so it's like a VPN.
But typically this would be like frowned upon. Yeah, it's kind of like a VPN. He's got a VPN to create deep fakes of his.
So he needs to make some weird shit. He just needs to make another ring and use that one.
That's such a good idea.
Ridiculous. Okay. So there's that.
I like this alien surgery. Yeah,
they left out that rule. That might have been helpful. And they like... So it gives you a little warning when it's like approaching 0%. Like, how about... A 15% warning, you know, like a phone.
Sometimes
that could have been nice.
Yeah, it seems to be almost like, oh, dude, you're almost fucking out.
Yeah,
it warns you like
your car only tells you when the gas light's on. You know?
Like there's no meter. It's just like
that's the only thing that works.
You got 40 miles. Good luck.
That work.
That's like, yeah, it feels like it works like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine the ring a lot of time, since it's like captioned, it like tells you shit in your mind.
Yeah.
And so I think that you would just know what it is if you think about it.
In your head, you just constantly have the percentage.
That's what that's how in my head lore, that's how it works. I like this alien surgery they do on Sinestro. Pretty fucked up looking.
I don't like that guy.
That guy, yeah. He's
got gross. Too many teeth and he's got like a head tattoo.
He looks like that Spawn dude a little bit.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a nose. He's got like a hole.
He does have just a hole, yeah.
And he's fat. He's got a good bunch of chins.
Yeah, too many chins. There's a panel in here where is it? It's when like Arsona is arguing with Sinestro. And Sinestro at one point says, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And Hal can like overhear him in the other cell and he just like makes this face because he's surprised that Sinestro's saying sorry. Yeah. That I think is just really funny because he's like, oh.
Are Sinestro's eyes like always black?
I think so.
I feel like I like only noticed it like this issue, but I guess they are. I like looked up the movie, like the Mark Strong one, and they're like white.
I wish, dude.
They're like white with like the yellow.
Yeah, the yellow pupil is always standard, I think. But yeah, black, I don't know. What do you call the white part of our eyes? The eyeball?
The yolk.
The yolk.
The egg whites.
The egg whites of Sinestro's are black.
So he's in the little jail cell.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're supposed to be dampening the
power. What if we just make 100 rings?
Yeah. Crazy idea. Because you'd think he could just focus all the power that would be on those rings into just his ring. But I don't think is their intention is to like do a big blast out of there.
This reminds me of like Love and Thunder, when just like all the kids had Thor powers, you know?
It's a little like that.
So
whatever. Not the best, but a funny idea.
Yeah.
So in issue 5.
Hold on. This panel reminded me of like a Gatorade commercial.
Why?
You remember when when they were sweating and it'd be like the color of the Gatorade that they're drinking or whatever? No,
that sounds gross and
the
sticky.
Gatorade commercials when they're doing sports and stuff.
They always do sports and stuff.
The guy would be drinking a blue one, he'd be sweating blue. Because he drank no water.
And he's like dribbling a basketball.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
And the room is dark that they're in.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I think it's like the glow.
I very vaguely remember that.
That it looks kind of like yellowish.
I always thought that would just be gross.
Totally.
And sticky after.
Yeah. But it just made me think
of that. It's a little Gatorade-esque, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, 5.
Issue 5. So Sinestro's power battery is like returning to Sinestro. And since he's in the cell wall, it just goes through the cell wall. And it frees everybody that's inside. So the new Green Lantern army fights the core while Sinestro and Hal go into the power battery again. And they manage to deactivate the yellow rings, which also incapacitates all of the users. So the whole Sinestro core is just taken out. Sinestro hauls the yellow power battery with the Sinestro core imprisoned. And he takes him back to Oa, but he sends Hal back to Earth with a Green Lantern ring that he can't use anymore because it's out of battery. So he kind of scams him a little bit. And then Hal makes up with Carol and the Guardians agree to free the first Lantern to lead the third army. So there's some like future shit in there. But I do like that he scammed Hal. And he's like, yeah, I'll give you a ring.
Yeah.
There's no bat or there's no like charge in it, but you got one.
So they can just like Mjolnir like the lantern that they have. Like the power bank thing that they have.
I think sometimes you can see him just like conjure it and it just goes and it like appears.
Yeah.
I don't love that a lot of the time because it's like, then what even is it? I like it being its own physical thing and it could just come to you because it's magic and whatever. That's how it works.
Yeah. Or you go to it.
Yeah. Or you go to it and charge it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that you should have to say the thing every time.
One of those like home, like EV chargers, you know, that like you have to install it in your garage for like your Tesla or your other electric vehicles.
And you just like charge it at night or. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you just put it on the dock and then
it probably does.
Hopefully, no one breaks in.
Yeah, it's weird because they all derive their power from the central power battery on the planet, and then the lanterns seem to just have like a direct conduit to the power of that thing, and so that's why they need the lantern. Because I don't think you need to charge a lantern.
I thought you did.
You only need to charge the ring. I'm pretty sure you don't. Mm. But like, I think different people explain different ways, but I've always seen it as like a portal to the power that's like
on
the central power battery.
Would be crazy
because then what you're just charging two things, like what are we doing? I guess it's like it could be a power bank,
yeah,
but it would have to have a lot of like, fucking charge. That's a big clunky thing.
It's like always the outlet,
yeah,
you know.
That's how I see it, kind of. So all the army of Green Lanterns, they're just thrown out on the front lines, except they have some power now, if they even know how to use it, because I don't think everybody understands how it works. But I guess all of these rings that he's created, 100 of them, are just using Sinestro's power, and the power is always just arbitrary. It feels like I've never had a good gauge on like how much they can do with it before it's like out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a charge it's would too last much to like a couple days at least, you know.
Yeah, typically.
And if you go
on like standard use,
it's like more usage, definitely drain a little bit more.
They should do power saving mode.
Power saving mode, just like
you can create a construct but it can't be that big.
Yeah. Just a little weaker.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen like, I imagine the rings are probably broken like all the time
sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know, it just it seems like
it's a big deal if they do get broken because they're pretty durable, I'd say.
Yeah,
but when he says I've broken two before, I'm like, that seems like something he'd figure out how to do,
right?
Like he specifically would want to be the guy that like stress tests this kind of thing.
Yeah, pushes things.
Mm-hmm. All right, issue 6.
A good Good arc.
Good arc. That's it.
Yeah.
No
that's,
more.
That's the trade.
That's the trade. It should be. Dude, this sixth issue is some of the worst comic book I've ever seen.
Some of the worst comic book?
Yeah.
Wow.
The art is awful.
I don't know if I would say that. It's follow Mike Choi, and I think he's got a really cool...
Is it like, always like that? I feel like I know of Mike Choi, but surely this is not what he does all the time.
I didn't recognize it, you know, his artwork.
Yeah, this seems...
I'm more used to seeing like his like... What, X-23? Is that...
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he did that.
With the original X-23?
Yeah, and so that seems to be like...
Maybe.
Yeah, his stuff. But it's just like a different...
Maybe it's the coloring. Style.
And like the face looks like much different, like the structure of his face, you know?
It's just Hal Jordan looks like a child.
It's just, he does look really young.
Everybody kind of looks like a child. I think Sinestro's head is too fat. Because the Doug one, and most iterations of like Sinestro, he's got just kind of like a taller head. Like a very Mark Strong head. Uh-huh. But this is like a George Lopez head.
Yeah.
And so I think that's like inconsistent.
I don't know what you mean by George Lopez head.
I don't know. Something rounder.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think he looks like George Lopez.
As, not as Megamind, you know?
No.
It's just kind of normal head.
Yeah, pretty much. Which that throws me off. I think a lot of the Green Lantern...
I think maybe the coloring, it might be like what's...
The coloring throws me off.
Off-putting you.
For sure, because it seems airbrushed. And that...
Yeah, it's very
makes me angry because
it's blended looking.
It doesn't look very good. But basically this issue, Hal and Carol's relationship is actually working out, even without the Green Lantern ring. And Sinestro gets help from this dude named Starstorm to track down Lyssa Drak, who has this magical book called The Book of the Black. And the book holds many Guardian secrets, and it gives Sinestro an epiphany about the Third Army coming, and so Sinestro goes back to Earth and he recruits Hal again. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I wasn't sure why this is here.
I think they just had to put it in one of the volumes.
Like
in the collection.
I suppose it like could be the...
Should have been an annual.
The fucking... It's like setting up like...
The next.
Sinestro needs him again.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, so it could be like maybe cliffhanger in a way.
He needed a breather.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely more like pro arc. You know, when it comes to an artist.
Yeah.
And then you can like switch it. But this also really felt like the first issue of the next trade.
It really does.
You know, so it seemed like that'd be a better place for it.
Mm-hmm.
That just makes me think like, what the fuck was number 7 like, you know?
That's a good question. Probably. I wonder if it is back to the Doug. I think he stays on this for a while.
Yeah, it is. So this is kind of like a filler issue in a way.
Yeah.
Because it's weird because Alex Sinclair, like, colors, like...
He colors the 6?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, no. Mike Choi colored this one.
Okay. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But it also says Alex Sinclair, so I'm not sure, but...
Maybe he helped.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, let's get
into... So, Sinestro, like... In this, like, the whole time, like, the whole run, is it just, like, them together? Is there something happen with him eventually?
Something happens with him.
Okay.
He goes back to yellow.
Because, okay, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Because I think what's fun about him is he always seems to have some sort of, some, like, ulterior motive.
Yeah.
Ulterior? Alternate motive?
I think from this, you kind of get more of his perspective of he's not... He doesn't think, I guess no one evil thinks they're evil, but he doesn't really...
He really feels like he doesn't think he's evil.
Yeah, he thinks he's really doing stuff for like the greater good or whatever. And
yeah,
I've never really seen him like that.
He might think that he's harsh in what he's doing, but he's doing it for the benefit, like a utilitarian benefit.
Yeah, I've just never seen that perspective from like him, you know?
Yeah, I've always liked that character. Whenever he shows up, I don't really ever get hold of him just because I like how much he shit talks, and when he does shit, it like makes sense.
Isn't he like sometimes like on like evil teams, like an Injustice League?
Yeah, sometimes he is.
so that doesn't make sense.
Because it's only because Green Lantern is on that team, and they don't want to put a Manhunter in there, because who the fuck cares about Manhunter? Or they don't want to put like the guy with the big fucking head, Hector Hammond. They don't want to put him on an Injustice League because it's just a guy with a big fucking head and he's not a cool. Because you know
who's Hector Hammond?
He's the guy with the big fucking head in the Green Lantern movie.
That doesn't narrow it down, dude.
He's really ugly.
What does he do?
He has like mind powers.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, I remember.
But he's kind of like a worse MODOK. Like, so, this is what he looks like in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's like the original? Who's the original Lantern?
Alan Scott.
Oh, they bring him back for that?
Oh, the first Lantern.
The first Lantern.
Oh, his name is Volthoom. Volthoom. Something like that.
Depot picture.
Yeah. He comes back sometimes. He's supposed to be like the first Lantern. He's like a picture. He's not even like that intimidating looking. This isn't from like the Geoff Johns run, but this is just a picture that pulls up. Just a guy. He happened to be the first Lantern back when things worked kind of differently, I think. Mm-hmm. From a different part of the multiverse. This is, I think, the ones from John's run.
Okay.
And so I think the idea was the Guardians didn't start with the Green Lantern Corps as like a universe governing force. They started with Manhunters, which are just like these robot things.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't work out.
Not great branding either.
No, it's not. Manhunter.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they created the Green Lantern Corps, and that worked out a lot better for a little bit, but it's got some issues because a lot of the Green Lanterns are like, these Guardians are a little fucked up because they don't have any emotions, and so they're not very ethical. But that's the reason why they created them, so that they could use the ethics of their sector to govern it how it should be governed, you know? So
I think that could be beneficial for leadership.
Yeah. That it is ultimately the best move. That's what it's supposed to be. But then they like get fed up with when people have emotions sometimes.
Yeah.
And so they're constantly at odds. They're constantly feeling like a force of government that's just like corrupt in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they're like, let's scrap this whole Green Lantern shit and let's do this third army, which was this like kind of boring, sentient, emotionless beings that they're not robots, but they're still alive, but they're emotionless. And they're just, I don't even think they had like rings. I can't remember. But there's a whole arc that was like,
do they look like people?
They look like humanoid aliens with like transparent heads or brains or something like that.
So the Guardians, did they make the power battery?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it used to be only a power battery before there were like the whole emotional spectrum.
Right.
Because that was introduced by the Geoff Johns run.
Right.
But I like how that was done.
Cool.
So Back Matter Matters?
Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We got some covers from different people. We got
Greg Capullo. Dave Finch,
Francis Manapul is doing a cool one. Yep, I think Ivan Reese is probably my favorite Lantern artist. He always does a good job. And then we see some cover sketches from Doug for all the different covers, and then a couple like examples of page roughs to page pencils by Doug. And he's got some good pencils. But those are just from different issues. And then there is some Green Lantern character design, which is all pretty standard. So, what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I'd give it like a Kroger mitten chip.
Nice.
And like a waffle cone.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, you know.
Mitten chip and waffle cone's a little wild, maybe.
But no, it'd be delicious.
Is that delicious? I've never thought to even try. I love mint chip.
You put every ice cream in a waffle cone and it'll be better.
Okay, fair enough.
It's like pretty good. Not like the best, you know. I just like Earth One, you know, a lot.
Earth One is great.
That's just not my favorite Lantern story of like the three that I've read. But, you know, pretty good. Not the best, but it's in a good package.
Yeah.
So, you know, Doug Mankey, he's pretty goated in my head.
He is.
And this just kind of proves that more.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, he's great in this. I would also give it a mint chip. It is my favorite ice cream, but maybe I'll just do like a standard love it, I would say. Like, I like the shit.
So you like it from Cold Stone mint chip?
From Cold Stone mint chip.
Okay.
But it melted a little. Like,
it lasted that too long.
Like, this is pretty peak in my head, but it's not the peak of the series, because most of it that is peak is kind of just longer. Like, Blackest Night, I think, is one of the bigger highlights.
Is that during New 52?
Before.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like just before.
Okay.
Not just before. But I think he did that before Flashpoint, though.
Gotcha. Okay. Did you read all of the New 52 run?
Yeah.
Mm.
But I remember strictly there's like a Simon Baz part of it, and I thought that that was in the beginning. And so when I was looking at this, I was like, is this a Simon Baz one? And it was the Sinestro one. So I don't remember when Simon Baz becomes the guy.
Is that like his first appearance?
I thought it was New 52. No, I think it was just before. I don't know. I'm fuzzy on the timelines. But there's a Simon Baz part of this New 52 run that I thought was pretty good, when he's like the solo lantern and he still has a gun. Like a regular gun.
Right.
So I can't remember when all that happens. But I've read all the New 52, yeah. And for a little bit, Johns was off of it when they were doing the DCU. Remember that? It was when, like, Jim Gordon became Batman and he had a mech suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there was, like, big changes that were happening, like, towards the end of New 52. Maybe it was Rebirth I'm thinking of.
He's, no, Rebirth is... His first appearance is the New 52 Free Comic Book Day Special Edition.
Uh-huh. So it must have been in the middle of New 52.
And then he was, like... He was in the JLA, I guess. But... Yeah, sounds like it.
We'll look at him now.
Created by Jeff Johns and Doug Mankey, so...
Oh, it was Doug Mankey? I didn't know that.
He didn't Doug called after... Jeff, he's like, what if we gave him a gun?
Dude, I wish I was a fly on the wall in that meeting.
A six-shooter revolver.
He has a gun because he doesn't like the Green Lantern ring. He was introduced, I guess, during Rise of the Third Army story arc. So it would have been just a couple arcs after this.
Mm.
And he starts in issue 13. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. What do you think this is rated on League of Comic Geeks?
Oh. I don't know. Probably in the fours. I'll say a four. Flat four.
4.0?
Yeah.
Got a 4.3.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I think...
I always just think I like this shit way more than anybody else.
I think people who like Green Lantern stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know, because this is like all I ever really hear about. I also don't really hear about Green Lantern stuff that often, so...
Yeah. I think his is the most iconic, easily.
Yeah.
But I like some of the people that have been on it after him. Vendetti, I think, did some good stuff. And then it was kind of fine just for a little bit, and I kind of like the guy that's on it now. So
cool. Let's get into the poll list. Colin,
shove in your box.
The poll list. The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
What did you get?
Oh, I forgot to tell you this. Did you know that Alan Moore did some Green Lantern stuff, and he created the Green Lantern planet, Mogo?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
That is pretty cool.
Very cool. All right. Where did you
pick up? Did he do like a... Did he create Mogo in a Green Lantern run?
I think so. Or it might have been Action Comics and there's some Green Lantern stuff in there, but...
That seems
I think it might have been a one-shot that he did.
Yeah. I'm sure it's... Yeah, it doesn't seem like he did like something long
a full
in
run.
There.
Yeah.
But yeah, I you telling me, like, if you quiz me, I'd be like, I don't know. But like you saying that, like I've heard that, information before.
I probably told you that. Poll list. I picked up Dead Man number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Picked up Absolute Green Lantern. Way behind on that. Batman number 11.
12?
Yeah, 11 came out. Okay, yeah, last time. And then I picked up Fort Psycho by Matt Kent.
Ah.
And
you
then
you gotta follow up on the
I gotta follow
comic in a can.
Yeah. I thought the
can't
issue
just
zero
out of the can.
I thought issue zero was just fine. So I'm like, you know what, let me give
you
this
should
a chance.
Shove all your Fort Psycho into that can.
I should. Dude, that's a great idea.
The way Matt Kitt intended.
And I'll go get that signed by him. Like, can you sign this? And I, like, it's all crumpled and shit. And I'll shove it back in the can in front of him. Exactly. Yeah, I bought it just because I bought the comic out of Canon. I think that that's a funny idea and silly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it worked
that,
on me.
That's something that probably, you could have on a shelf forever and people will be like, what the fuck?
I'm like, it's the comic in the can.
Yeah.
You ever heard of it?
Well, what does it look like?
And every time someone asks about it, I'll pull out the full-sized Ford Tyco and it'll just get more and more destroyed. And then I picked up Chachu.
Oh, yeah?
Which is the Iman Vellani book.
Nice.
And I wasn't sure if I was going to pick it up, but I picked it up and I flicked through some of the pages and I'm like, this looks like good art. So I'm
Yeah, the artist is really good.
Yeah. So I'm going to check that out. What'd you pick up?
Batman 12. I'm dropping after this one just because I'm like too far behind.
Fair.
I'm 6 months behind right now. So
it's always easier to get issue 13, you know, if you want to.
That's like where the trade would cut off.
Yeah.
For volume 2. So it's like,
I might do the same if I don't get around to it sooner.
Yeah. Like I'll like trade rate the West if I like need to, but like I enjoy it when I read it, but when I fall that far behind, I'm like, it's like
there's kind of a lot going on in each issue, so to catch up is a task.
Right. Deadman 3, and then did I have Jughead in my pull list?
Yeah.
Jughead Pymageddon number 1.
What is that again?
It's just like a Tom King one shot thing with Dan Parent. I think he's in a pie eating contest or something. I don't know.
Sounds fun. I wonder how Tom King will ruin it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Surely he can't, right?
Ruin what there, Jughead?
What is there to be introspective about and overwritten about a pie
eating Why contest? Does he eat? You know?
What am I eating?
Yeah. Is he eating away his feelings?
if it's that, it'd be kind of funny,
it's
actually.
Like, it's not. It never feels like the decision didn't feel like Tom King was writing it. It felt like an Archie thing, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally.
He's like respective of that. And like Dan Parent writes Archie in the Digest stuff.
Mm.
So I don't think he'd really let him
be stupid about it.
Fuck shit about it, you know? So.
Dude, when I saw
those
that.
Those are like, fun and they're like easy to digest stuff.
So. Mm-hmm. When I saw that TikTok comment of somebody having like the exact same opinion as you about One Minute Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was like, Dan would appreciate this.
I think I saw that video. I don't know if I saw that exact comment, but like,
you were like,
I'm not like,
tomorrow. You're not like a hater, but it's not like,
yeah, I have,
it's like, not unbelievable.
Right. Are you warm? I realized I didn't move the fan.
I'm fine.
Okay. Did you read anything?
I did. I just read Invincible, 51 through 55.
Oh, okay.
So there's good stuff in there.
On his way.
Stuff from the show that happened. Remember when he goes in like the future for a little bit?
Yeah.
He's like on a date with Eve and then he goes in the future.
Those two guys on the bike. The dunes or whatever. Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. The two guys on a scooter or something. And they're like, you need to come with us. And so that happens. And then they also, Alan and Nolan broke out of the prison. And Battle Beast was there and he was just having a good time. And that was fun.
That's when he breaks out of the prison?
55. Yeah.
Huh. Where like
Alan's there and they decide to team up and he does the I miss my wife.
Where they're they're talking to each other through the the cells. Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're like pen pals.
You catch up to the show.
Like kind of. I feel like I'm still really far behind.
That's like the end of like season 3.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that when they break out? I was trying to remember what the end of season 3 even was.
Cause like
what's the end of season 2?
Cause like that's when like the Battle Beast like comics started coming out because that was like so fresh, and then there's like that big gap it with Battle Beast they didn't really like explain ever, so it was like a good time for that to come out.
So I'm probably within like 50 issues of catching up.
Maybe you're probably 20. Within like 20, honestly.
No, I don't think I still feel like I'm pretty far away from some stuff, but maybe there's starting to be things that happen where I'm like, this is new for sure. So
yeah, anyway, I read Terminal #1, the new Robert Kirkman thing.
Oh, cool.
I think Andy Kubert was on #1.
Sounds right. Isn't Finch on there? No.
So it's like every issue is like a different comic legend doing the art.
Cool. I like that actually.
Yeah. It's like, okay. I think the way it was sold to me is like cooler than like what it was, you know? And I like get it, but I just like I just didn't really care for it that much.
Okay.
Fair enough. Give it a shot. Maybe it'll be worth something. I don't know. I read Tigris Island, number one, which is, it's nothing. Don't look it up. Okay. no, it was like a number one that came out from like Image, I think. It had this like artist who I've like been seeing around, but I haven't really bought anything.
What do you mean, don't look it up? Is there a hot woman on the front?
Yeah, some tig old biddies on the front.
Really?
The artist is like E-P-H-K. I'm like Efk or something. But I like his style.
Oh, my.
Like, it's cartoony. And it's like...
It's he does have a cool style.
Yeah. It's basically about like these women that were supposed to just kind of be like go on some dates as like eye candy or whatever. But it turns out that they were like kidnapped into like a shipping container. And it's kind of like a... Like, I wasn't thinking about this at first, but it's kind of like an Epstein-looking thing.
Like a trafficking
situation. It could be. Yeah, we haven't gotten to, you know, what's really happening, but I guess you could assume that.
Okay.
It's okay. I bought it more for the art. Uh-huh. And moving on. Read She-Hulk number 8.
Nice.
Yeah. She-Hulk was been working for the the Living Tribunal,
mm-hmm.
who is like the embodiment of justice in the universe.
Yeah.
And because I guess
the big yellow guy,
I don't know if he's yellow, he's like
purple. He's got a hood.
Does he have a hood? I don't know.
From what I've seen, he's a big yellow guy with purple hood.
She's like kind of being like a judge for like these intergalactic cases or
that's
whatever.
Awesome.
And but she goes to one planet where everything is decided by like combat, like trial by combat.
Sweet.
And that's how they like elect leaders and stuff. And there's this one guy who is just like fucking up everybody. I forgot what he's called. He's called like the champion or something.
Mm.
And she gets like whooped by him, but like somehow with law jargon is able to get like a rematch. And so she's like, how do I beat this guy if he's like exponentially stronger than I am?
Yeah.
And then she thinks back to how Jen Walters is, or like She-Hulk is exponentially stronger than Jen Walters.
Yeah.
So what she does is she trains Jen Walters and then She-Hulk gets stronger.
Gotcha.
In result of that. And so she's just fucking jacked right now, like bigger than normal.
Cool.
And I'm like, oh, that's smart.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I like that she's just doing law stuff in space. And that's something I didn't think that book would go.
Yeah. It was only like a 2-issue thing. But yeah, that's a pretty wacky book. And then, whatever. I read Dick Tracy, Nathan.
Oh, cool.
This is by Mike Allred.
Yeah.
And Lee Allred. I don't know.
He's the colorist, right?
Lee? No, Lee. That's his wife, Laura.
Laura.
But you know Rich Tomasso?
Nope.
You really know? Okay, this one's called Dick Tracy, Dead or Alive. Rich Tomasso did the art on it. Mike Allred just did the covers, which is misleading.
Super.
But that's when IDW had Dick Tracy. But no, Rich Tomasso is like really cool.
No, actually. He's great.
I like his style.
I can tell already.
Did you ever read Spy Seal?
Nope.
Okay, that's Rich Tomasso. It's pretty sick.
Like an actual sealed animal?
Seal, yeah.
That sounds great.
I think it was only 1 or 2 issues, but anyway, I read this. It's really solid, actually.
That's cool. People love Dick Tracy, I feel like. Have you seen the movie?
No, I want to. I did my homework.
Yeah, I got to do that first.
Yeah, there's corruption. He comes in this corrupt town and he fixes it.
Where do you think he gets his yellow suits?
it's a black suit, yellow trench coat. Or a raincoat or whatever.
I never once noticed that.
There's always, I think they always, they got to make every color, I guess. But this is like so like there's like murder, but it's like so lighthearted. And it's only like 4 issues. So it's like a quick read.
Cool.
And so therefore like the pacing has to be like so quick.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the Arvids like writing this, they like, I think they just kind of get it because I think this is what Dick Tracy is normally.
Yeah. I mean, if it works, they probably just
we get got it. Like this boss meeting, and one guy's like, I'm not going to do this. He gets his car, boom. And then there's like,
it goes from, I'm not going to do this to yeah, boom,
he two slams panels later. His car. Like they knew he was going to like quit, you know? I'm like, so many questions.
I kind of love that.
Yeah.
It seems like it can't be like 70s show.
Yeah, it's like what it. Yeah, it's what it is. It's probably it's super fun. I like reading that a lot. And then I didn't read a trade last week. On my, you know, on my goal for this year, so I read another one. I read Berserk Volume 7.
Nice.
So on my way with that. Did you watch anything?
I beat Elden Ring DLC. Which was cool.
That's fun.
I was excited about that. The game's a masterpiece. I can't even like say anything else.
So how are you dealing with this unlimited pussy you're getting?
It's really hard, honestly, because I can't.
I'm glad you're able to carve up some time to record.
To be like, I can't. I need to play the Elden Ring DLC.
I need to try for the third day in a row to beat this boss.
Yeah. Promise Consort Radon's not going to beat himself. Okay. It was so weird. Because I was at the last boss, I'm like, this has to be last boss because it's like the craziest looking one. Mm-hmm. He's got the coolest things. And whenever I'm just like fighting a boss, I kind of go into a mode of like, I need to learn how to dance with this guy. And so I was literally listening to a podcast while I was like playing and I was trying to figure out his moves, right? I was
just like, Elden Ring podcast?
No, just a, just like a podcast. And this is like probably 100 deaths in or something like that. But I like, when he gets into his phase two and he starts doing different moves, I have no idea how to counter it. Only like the two easiest moves. And so when I beat him, I had never gotten him past like half health. But for some reason, he was just doing some of the easier moves and I got lucky with some of the harder moves. And I ended up beating him by getting like super lucky. And I activated like a bleed effect that only happens sometimes if you're hitting him a bunch and it takes out a percentage of their health.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a move that he does. I think it's like 25% left health where he like goes up into space and he turns into a meteor and he crashes down on you. And this is the first time I ever saw that. I didn't know it was happening. I was panicking and just like trying to roll anywhere I could. And he misses me. And I was just like standing in a spot where I don't get hit. And then I was able to just like jump on him and attack him and just greed the fuck out of like how much I was hitting him without caring for how much he was going to hit me. And I beat him.
As a meteor?
No, he was done being a meteor because he crash landed because he was trying to hit me. But I'd never seen that meteor move and I'd never seen, I don't even know if he has like a phase three. So the
first time you see it, you beat him.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I was like, I was never even remotely close to beating him before. And so when I beat him, I was like, did I just do it? I was still listening to the podcast. I had to pause it. I'd be like, what the
fuck? Shut up.
What the fuck? What the fuck just happened?
Who knows what's going to happen next?
Because when I beat like the boss from the base game, Millennia. I felt like the fucking man. But I beat this one and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with myself.
Yeah.
But it's awesome still, either way. It's very, it was
So is the bleed effect kind of like cheating, you think?
A lot of people consider it a strong build. And if you're an annoying Elden Ring player, you're like, it's too easy.
If you're a purist.
You gotta make it harder on yourself, which I was doing already by not summoning anything or using really any magic. So that's just how I like to play because it just feels like I'm brawling them, you know what I mean? Instead of just like spawning something to go fight while I just run away.
Right.
I like to be in there. So yeah, I had a bleed build. It was pretty good. And the game's fun. It's awesome. And so now all we have left is Spider-Man. I played the Spider-Man game.
You did?
Yeah. I bought it.
Did you get a PS5?
No. They remastered it and put it on Steam and it was on sale. So I bought it.
Oh, cool.
So I started playing that. First one.
Cool.
All of them were on sale, but I just bought the first one.
How much is that?
It was $20.
Oh, for sure.
And that game's so fun.
It's all right.
It's fun to just swing around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
It's good for a couple days.
Yeah, I'm still in a couple days range, so I like swinging around and
yeah,
taking pictures and
overloading
stuff.
Overloading on Spider-Man?
Yeah,
dude, I did not take any pictures. Like only like when it was like a mission or something.
It was kind of fun to take pictures because it'll tell you like what you just took a picture of if it's like one of the landmarks. And sometimes it'll just be like Rand Corporation or like Nelson and Murdoch fucking office or that bar that they go to in Daredevil, Josie's, I think. There's like a Josie's bar in there. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. for like an Alias Investigations. But I was just kind of like swinging around because I like to do it, and I was just taking pictures of stuff because I wanted to build suits. And I'm swinging around as Ben Reilly.
Mm.
So, fun game so far.
Yeah, I think in the second one, you just had to like, you can like press both the bumpers and then you're just Miles Morales, like whenever you want.
Oh.
Not like you, like their suit changes, like it just,
you just your pop
character
in.
Changes. Yeah, oh. And they have like different missions or whatever.
That's weird. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't played that one yet. So did you play the first one and the second one?
Just the second one.
Oh, you only played the second one.
Yeah, I think it came with the PS5.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I played that for a little bit and then just haven't gone back to it.
Gotcha.
Because every time I open up a PS5, I'm like, oh, there's Sly Cooper. You know, I could be playing Sly Cooper.
Did you see those toys that they're making of Sly Cooper stuff?
The U2's ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw like, the Thievius Raccoonus book and I'm like, that's funny.
I saw that as an ad. I'm like, I wouldn't buy a toy of a book, but then I looked at the other ones. I just don't like how they look.
Yeah, they're not.
Just because they make cool Sly Cooper toys doesn't mean I'm going to like buy them necessarily, but.
I just wonder like, who's this for?
Me, I think.
I think it's just, yeah, for us.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, the algorithm has me. They clocked me immediately. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't really love the U2's.
Me neither. I haven't
ones. The Invincible ones are kind of funny, but like, yeah, it's just like, any kind of like, toy where it's like a
with a gimmick style,
yeah, that they do over and over, you know, like I did the Funko. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'm over it now.
Yeah, same.
I watched the drama with,
oh cool,
Zendaya and Robert Pattinson.
Mm-hmm. The only two people working this year, feels like.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, it was okay. It was like kind of interesting. I
thought you had already watched the drama.
No, we didn't watch it.
The invite.
I did not watch the invite. Rena watched the invite.
I could have sworn you watched the drama like a couple months ago or a month ago.
I watched a movie called Materialists. That's kind of similar, I guess.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, New Yorkers rom-com, I guess, in a way.
I must be thinking of something else.
Yeah, I don't know what you're thinking of. It was okay. I wouldn't recommend it, and I wouldn't say I necessarily liked it, but.
Mm.
It was like interesting, and I find it kind of weird that people like it, you know, because it seemed to be doing it did pretty well.
Yeah,
yeah. So you could skip that probably. And we watched Spider-Man, brand spanking new movie.
Yep,
day.
That's what it's called. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
All right, that's it.
All right, thanks for listening.
No, I kind of went in with almost like a hater vibe because I wasn't like that excited about it. Like I thought it might be cool, but just from what I saw from one trailer, I'm like, oh, jangling keys the movie because you got Punisher and the Hulk in the hand and whatever. I'm like, how is this gonna work?
I didn't know the Hulk was in it.
You did? I knew the Hulk was in it.
I think like I always. The Spider-Man movies are always pretty good, you know?
So
like,
yeah.
So that's kind of... Because, like, rewatching them through, like, Sarah's eyes, I'm like, yeah, these are pretty good, you know?
That's kind of how I was watching this one, I think. Through Sophie's eyes, not through Sarah's eyes.
Yeah, I wasn't very cynical about it.
Dude, Spider-Man has motion. Do you ever just, like, get reminded that, like everybody loves Spider-Man?
Like, the most motion?
Like, everybody...
I'm never reminded, because I always know, you know?
I'm always, like, kind of surprised, because we had, like, some food that we were... Brian, and there's some people there that weren't watching the movie, but like Don and Brian were like, oh, you have to tell me how that is. We should try and watch that like today. Like they were trying to like find tickets to go do it. I'm like, oh wow.
I think it was just
some people are like prioritizing this more than some other movies.
I think it was just because like everyone was doing a thing that they weren't doing, and so they're like, we should do that.
Well, I think he had tried to go secure tickets a different time too, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But like everybody, like people talk about it at work. You know?
Right.
And so I'm like, this guy just has motion. So I just am reminded of that.
Yeah, they have like 9 movies or whatever. So
yeah, and they're all pretty good-ish.
Successful games, successful animated movies.
You know? It's cool. The characters works, and he works in here. I like what I was saying about just like the random characters that are thrown in. They all seem to work.
Like Ramrod.
And they all seem to work like pretty well. At least those big ones like Punisher and Hulk. Like, there's a reason-ish for them to be there, and it's, like, put in the movie. It's not just to like have Spider-Man fight somebody kind of cool.
Yeah.
Even though there are those moments.
With the Punisher, I think he was not how you're used to seeing him. But like, no. I feel like whenever Punisher's in a Spider-Man thing, like a comic, it's always like kind of a lighter version. Yeah. You know?
100%.
And so that I feel like this really felt like a comic to me. A lot of things in this. Random cameos, it just kind of moved the story forward. You know, it's not really like, you know, you're like, okay, yeah, maybe I guess they need them for that.
Yeah.
You know, and
so I thought when you first see him, when he's in like the car and Spider-Man like webs him or whatever, I'm like, okay, that'll probably be it of that. And that was kind of fun.
But oh, then, you thought it was just like a one scene thing.
Just going to be that.
I'm glad I came around. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then when he is back again, I'm like, where the fuck are they trying to put Zendaya? And then he shows up again and there's like a bunch of booby traps. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, this is kind of fun. And then they just have a dynamic that's really fun. I like when they, spoilers, by the way, I like when they fight together, when they fight Hulk together and he's like dragging him across the floor and he's like fucking shooting him.
That was like one of the coolest things ever.
Like, it's going to do anything, but it is cool as shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So stuff like that's really fun.
They're just aura farming like while trying not to die.
They know they're not going to kill or like win, but they are aura farming. That's for fucking sure.
I loved that we got like the Savage Hulk again.
Yeah.
Because Smart Hulk gets fucking old.
He's such a bitch, dude.
And when like
Hulk has a shirt on when you first see him, I'm like, what are we doing, dude?
Hulk's scary, it's like, it's so terrifying. Fun.
I'm like, he's gonna cause some damage.
I like just rewatched Avengers and that shit on like the helicarrier or whatever with like Black Peak. Widow is like the best part of that movie.
It's the best Hulk that we've seen.
It's so good.
Best Hulk scene. Like when he's just like running through that small hallway, he's like,
get the fuck out of there.
She's fucking Scarlett Johansson's running around. I'm like, yeah, that shit's cool. So I hope
she should have died.
She should have died for sure. So I hope that just stays and we don't ever have to question why he's not like Smart Hulk anymore.
I'm sure it'll be kind of like all over the place.
Yeah.
But
that this one felt good seeing him like that. So I like that. I don't believe for a second though that Spider-Man's like his web needs to be a little bit thicker.
Okay.
Because when Hulk is being like held back by like these wires that are around him that are holding like the concrete that's like falling off of the building.
Isn't that the webs?
It's the webs that's like holding him there, but they look like little wires.
Yeah.
And it didn't look that cool to me. And so I'm like, I need the webs to be thicker.
I mean, I guess when like they're being held down by pieces of a building, it might thin out a bit.
But like he needs thicker web to hold that shit. You think
it still brought down the Hulk?
I know,
so it did pretty good.
I understand.
You're talking about aesthetics.
Aesthetically, it should be a little thicker. Yeah, he needs to shoot thicker rope.
For sure. he was shooting double loads.
He does end up shooting some big loads in this movie.
That was a little stupid. How like his like mechanical web shoes didn't work when his like
that
normal,
was dumb as fuck. But yeah,
I'm like, put him on the top of your wrist. Double web shoes. Yeah. That was kind of weird. Like the suit, I thought he was like a fresh slate and he was just like a unitard or whatever. But no, it's like still kind of a techie suit.
Yeah. I don't think he'll ever not be a techie Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Even though this is like the stripped down version of this techie Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's miles ahead of any of the other Spider-Man movies. He's like a smart kid and like AI is a thing now in the regular world. So of course he'd have a better AI than like most people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What's that 3D printer thing he's got? Like, is that?
Oh, it's just like the best.
Is that 3D making printer suit? Ever made.
It makes stuff.
I guess it's making
whatever
a suit.
He wants.
Whatever he wants. Yeah. So I think you could strip it back like a little bit more and it would still work.
It's
as
probably
a movie.
Bamboo Lab, you know?
And like, he's supposed to be this broke college kid, but he's got this crazy tech.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's cutting back. He's in New York. He's not getting the good pizza. He's getting Little Caesars.
Mm-hmm. He's going to the convenience
store. I don't believe
for
a fucking second there's Little Caesars in New York.
Did he get Little Caesars?
Yeah, dude. Every time he got pizza, it was Little Caesars.
That's like the box?
That's one of those big product placement ones.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, because they have Spider-Man pizzas you can get at Little Caesars.
I do remember that.
Or like the box. I saw a ton of like BMW product placement.
I noticed the BMW. I noticed the Bureau.
There's like some Liquid IV. And then like, I guess the Samsung Fold. Oh,
Samsung, just because I know there's been a lot of Samsung marketing, I'm like, every time he pulls that out, I'm like...
That seems like a phone that Ned would have, though.
Yeah, it does. So I think that's not as egregious as the other ones. Like, Bureau.
Did you... I like kind of thought they were doing like a Man Spider thing.
I thought so too.
And they bitched out. And
they, I didn't think he was going to have like a big spider head with mandibles, you know?
I want him to grow legs.
I thought he was going to at least have six arms for a little bit.
Oh my God. Best but movie ever.
It would have been awesome. Either one of those would have been awesome. If he had a big spider head for a little bit. I wanted some
more body horror.
But no, dude, he just has like sexy black eyes.
Yeah.
That would probably, it's probably just a thirst trap.
He's, and you're like, oh, he's Spider-Man.
He's a fucking spider now. Look at her. Look how scary he is.
Yeah.
We're just dumbasses who want that. But it makes sense that he wouldn't have a big spider head.
I thought he'd become a big spider and then he'd like break out of it, you know, at the end.
I was talking to Parker about this. And he said the exact same thing. It was like, I thought he was going to be Man Spider. And I was like, dude, me too. And we figured out a way to see Man Spider without it being like too much.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when, big spoilers, by the way, when Jean Grey goes in his mind and
yeah.
he's talking to Aunt May. You know, the camera pans over to Aunt May talking to Peter, pans back over Spider-Man, Man Spider. Because he's got this like arachnid DNA that's like taken over him. He doesn't understand how to like handle it or whatever.
So it's like a nightmare kind of thing.
It's like a nightmare thing. And you see him as Man Spider. Tom Holland.
I'd be okay with that.
Mandible head, six arms.
Like a billion eyes ever. Or whatever.
That would have shot this shit up immediately to number one Spider-Man.
Five stars.
Five stars. I would. Yeah. So I wish they would have done that.
Yeah.
Just from me being a dumbass. Everything else about this is like pretty solid though.
Sarah is saying something. She had like some sort of like question. And my answer is like, Spider-Man's for kids, you know? Oh, no, there's like a bunch of like animated movie trailers. I'm like, this is like a kid's movie.
I'm trying to remember what trailers I had. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely a kid's movie.
Right.
So
they couldn't really do that much scary shit, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's guns.
That's not scary. That's cool. Like, I don't think anyone's scared of the Punisher, you know?
Yeah, that's true. From this. That's true.
Some of like the coolest fucking web swinging like I've ever seen, you know, like yeah. at the first act, I'm like, this is incredible. There's like so much sauce, like that, all the setup that they're doing.
Yeah, there's some like slingshotting that he's doing.
There's a roof fight scene, you know, I'm like, oh, it's like a game. You know?
Yeah, that was cool. I think it was fun seeing him be like a sad boy for a little bit. And he was like kind of stalking Ned and MJ.
Yeah.
And I think that was good. And then he like crashes out when he sees MJ
for like has like 4 years.
Yeah. And then he crashes out when MJ has like a boyfriend. I mean, that's like just the worst thing. It's like the most traumatic thing that happened to him.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny, but I'd be like, yeah, same. If I had Zendaya and then she's got another boyfriend, I'd be like, I would crash out and swing around too. But that, like, I'm glad that they weren't back together by the end of this.
Yeah, that would have been super fucking annoying.
It would have been super lame. Like, it needs to feel earned, and he needs to yearn for a little bit more. You know what I mean? Earn and yearn. Or yearn and earn.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they're, like, kind of friends, because seeing them, Ned, become friends with Spider-Man, that was, like, a fun scene.
Yeah, totally.
And that dynamic is...
I'm glad, like, it didn't just give you everything you wanted, you know?
Yeah.
Which, like, totally would have played, but I'm glad, like, it didn't.
Yeah, it would have worked out, but... They're setting themselves up to like have that payoff in another movie, which will be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that something that is missing, and we do kind of see it, but I wish Spider-Man was just like kind of doing smaller shit. Because we see him in the beginning, he's fighting like Scorpion and like Boomerang and when all that.
He stops like a bank robbery.
He stops like a bank robbery, but I'm saying like help somebody across the street. I like shit like that.
Yeah, okay.
Because remember, I just remember in Homecoming, like someone's like, yo, Spider-Man, do a backflip. And he does a backflip. They're like, ah. Or he's like giving this old lady directions about like where to go. And he's like in a Spider-Man suit.
Yeah.
I think that's, I love that shit. And I always hope for that in every Spider-Man
movie.
He's
like too famous though. Cause like.
But he can like pop in real quick.
It'll just turn into like a billion like camera phones popping out, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To where like it almost seems like a publicity stunt almost.
Yeah. But I think he could just still do it out of the goodness of his heart.
Like, I don't really have any nitpicky problems with it. Like, there are plenty if you think about it long enough, but...
Yeah.
Like...
This all works smoothly enough as a movie.
Like, Spider-Man has, like, top two best rogues gallery.
Yeah.
You know? And just the villain was, like, X-Men.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know, worked, and I understand... I kind of wish it wasn't a stepping stone kind of movie, but you know, you just, they could have had like just a different villain, I guess. And then,
yeah, it's also weird because they shaped her powers in a way that isn't normally how it works. You know, she's got like mind possession that can only, that has like a distance cap until it's like supercharged or whatever. And then she has like normal powers.
Early on,
you'd think that they would use some other, you know, Spider-Man villain to just mind hop people. Cause like, I think visually that kind of works as an interesting villain for Spider-Man. Because it's not like they can, he could just beat up a bunch of civilians that are being mind controlled, you know? So it's like, what do you do here? So I think all that is very interesting, both visually and morally for him.
Yeah. I think,
but I get what you mean.
With like the whole not being with Zendaya thing, I think if like Black Cat was like in this movie, like that'd be kind of cool, like almost like a, not like the main villain, but maybe like a side villain, because then there's like the sexual tension there that he's like kind of struggling with while also like still being in love with Mary Jane.
Why wouldn't they just do like a Gwen Stacy then?
What? Well, like, I think because Black Cat is a villain, is a bad person, you know, he'll be kind of distraught about that.
No, I don't think it would work as well.
As well as
just
Jean Grey being the villain.
Oh no, no, no! I'm saying Black Cat should have been.
Right. The add to this, but like,
gotcha.
Yeah,
basis of the movie.
They could have done like a symbiote thing. I think that it could have been time for that.
Mm-hmm.
Just explain like where that is, I guess. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to like brainstorm other things. You know,
that could have been addressed.
Yeah, because it seems like in a lot of ways they're introducing new heroes by making them like villains first. I feel like Namor is like normally good guy, but he was like bad guy in Wakanda Forever, you know? Yeah. And I'm sure there's other examples, but that was the first thing that came to me. It's just like,
it seems like,
if there's a Spider-Man 5, like who's the villain of that? You know, we haven't like run out of characters.
Yeah, there's still plenty.
And it's just like who they're gonna like. No one. I don't think anyone thought like Vulture would be a great first villain in a Spider-Man movie. But they.
He's like one of the top.
And he was kick-ass.
Yeah.
You know. So
they could do a Hobgoblin. Turn Ned into Hobgoblin.
That wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work at all. But I'd like to see him try.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anything else? I thought the hand always felt out of place.
Yeah, I didn't watch
the new Daredevil.
The hand's in Daredevil, right? This second season of Daredevil.
I don't know. I haven't finished it.
Yeah, neither have I. So
I don't think that plays into each other.
You could definitely tell they like added that because there's like a scene, the scenes where it's them, it's just only Spider-Man and the hand. It's like nothing else to where it seems like they just added that to make the movie longer.
No, because they were in the beginning and then they were in like damage control with everybody else. I just think that.
Okay, one scene in damage control.
Yeah,
I guess that's fair. A building. It seemed. And then Florence Pugh didn't really need to be there. It seemed like. I don't even remember why she was in it necessarily.
Because he was asking her about stuff and she has Avengers level access or whatever. I did like that scene where they just Spider-Man and like a little.
What kind of fucking water are they in?
Dude, there's some murky ass water.
I'm like, I couldn't see any titties.
But there's some hot springs that I've was into in Japan where
it was murky, like soapy
that.
Or something. Yeah,
no, there's stuff like that. I did laugh when his like toes popped out. That was that was the dumbest thing, but it was really funny to me.
I was like, why would you do that to anybody?
He's just kind of chilling.
I was like, you deserve to be alone.
That was really funny. That's probably what got me the most because it's just most like unexpected. Either that or John Bernthal making some gorilla noises as like he was being Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I just like him making little gorilla noises. What was I going to say? I had something. The hand fell out of place. Oh. I thought that damage control dude, like his contact was not a surprise that he was evil. From the beginning, I'm like.
Immediately, I'm like, this doesn't seem good.
That's not a cool guy.
That guy is like a bad guy in Severance. And so immediately when I saw him, I'm like, no fucking way, he's a good person.
I didn't even know that. This is the first time I think I've seen him act in something, and I'm like,
Yeah.
He's a normal, he's supposed to be a normal guy, but he talks weird and like a little bit sinister.
Yeah.
So he must be a bad guy. So when it's like revealed, like, damage control is a bad guy the whole time, I'm like, yeah, dude, you talk to
Marvel
him.
Marvel never wants us to trust any organizations, you know?
No.
But they want us to be cool with cops.
Shield is bad. You know, yeah. Sometimes there's their Hydra. Yeah. He's pretty cool with cops in this, but I feel like you kind of need to be. You can't really.
Yeah.
I feel like with how like liberal and kind of hippie MJ is, she'd be like, hey, Cap, why are you working with cops, bitch? That's a bad thing. But obviously Marvel will never do that. So anyway, good movie. How is this a top five Spider-Man movie?
That's such a funny question.
Why?
Like, imagine,
because a lot of people really like it. I think it's good. It's probably top five.
Yeah. That's not a hard list to make, I don't think.
Oh, really?
I think it's probably best Tom Holland.
Yeah, I think I just like it about.
Might be recency bias, but.
Yeah, I think I just like it about as much as like No Way Home and Far From Home.
I don't think.
Because I like both of those movies.
More than Homecoming?
Yeah. I think Homecoming has the best villain.
Yeah.
But as a Spider-Man movie, it's fine. I think it's good.
No Way Home isn't quite as good on a rewatch.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because
like, nothing will ever beat like
that
the theater experience.
Yeah,
totally. You know, so it's like, and then when you're just looking at it as like a movie where you're not cheering during any of it or whatever.
Like, oh my God, it's a Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. I'm something of a scientist myself. I'm like, yeah, I mean, out.
Yeah. And then he said the thing.
Right. And so, and then like, I think it easily beats like Amazing Spider-Man and stuff. And then you just have like two good Raimi ones. So
is it better than those two Raimi ones? And Spider-Verse?
No. Top five then. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's probably number five for me, which is pretty fucking good, because there's some really good movies in there. Because me, I'm.
I put it four.
Cool. I
put 3.
Nice. That's good.
What are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
Nothing.
All right. No podcast.
No more. We did it.
We're done.
That was every trade.
That was the last one.
Is there something coming out?
Nope.
So we're just doing whatever?
Nope. We got a recommendation, Nathan.
Oh, cool.
It was a recommendation off of our Superior Spider-Man episode.
Oh, nice.
Someone commented, Ben Allen Inks. I guess he's Inker or something. I don't know.
Okay.
He recommended like a spinoff book from Superior Spider-Man.
Okay.
He said, you guys should read Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Mm.
Have you heard of this?
It sounds familiar. Yeah. Is it just like a rogues gallery book?
Kind of. It's like, I think it's like about like that Sinister Six that was in that with like Boomerang.
Oh, with Boomerang and stuff. The big wheel.
I think so.
Huh. Okay. Interesting.
It's by Nick Spencer.
Oh.
And Steve Lieber.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds cool for Steve Lieber specifically.
Yeah. Covers by Marcus Martin.
What?
On Hoopla, there's like the complete collection, but we'll just read like the first six, which is the first trade.
Oh, I've seen this cover.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I'm down.
Alrighty. More Spidey stuff, but not really.
A little more Spidey?
But we got to do it.
I mean, we don't really do villain books that often.
We just read a Sinestro book.
No, he's not. He's a Green Lantern. He's a good guy.
Okay, so we'll read that. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thank you, Ben Allen.
I hope your inking is going good.
Yeah, go subscribe. Link in our bio. You can like, comment, subscribe to our channels and pages. We got linked. Oh, yeah. I said that. Traverspot@gmail.com.
You can send us a recommendation that way if you want. Tell us what your favorite Green Lantern is or Spider-Man. Actually, we're probably done with Spider-Man for a little bit after this.
Favorite, like,
Green Lantern trade.
Trade, okay.
I'd be interested to know what people have, because we haven't done like a core book.
If you hate Green Lantern, tell us.
If you want us to do all of Red Lanterns, Tell us. Because I want that omnibus so fucking bad. I want that more than any Green Lantern omnibus.
I'll keep an eye out for it.
Okay.
And yeah, goodbye.
Goodbye.